he gave me a chance to strive for the prize. Something is working deep down inside. He's working on a people so that he'll be glorified. And he gave me a chance to strive. Yes, he gave me a chance to strive for the prize. Something is working deep down inside. He's working on a people so he'll be glorified. And he gave me a chance to strive. Oh, yes, he gave me a chance to strive for the prize.
Thank you. I've invited a lot of people, but they haven't made it here yet. So maybe they will be a person of the word. I hope so. But anyway, it's so good to be here tonight. And I thought of this song that we just sang. That song is such an encouragement to me, where it said that the Lord, if he hadn't wanted us, he wouldn't have called us. And that if he had known that we could make it, well, he wouldn't have given us a chance or have something going. But I think about that song. If I get kind of on the low limb sometime, I think about that. I think, well, Lord, you knew what you was doing when you called me. You knew I wanted to go. And you called me. And I know that you've got confidence in me that I can make it. And I've got confidence in knowing that you're going to help me to make it. So I really appreciate that song tonight. And it was a lift to me, as always. And so I'm thankful that we can get messages out of songs. You know, just a song sometime will be just at the right time. It'll lift you up when you're down, and it'll give you new courage and new feeling in the Lord. So I'm just happy tonight to be here and to feel the Spirit of God as we felt it today. And God is so good to us to give us a chance to go with him and to get rid of the things in our lives that's unlike him and to be like him. So tonight it's a good feeling, and you're already. So the Lord is surely around somewhere because we can feel it. So it's good to be here tonight. And again, I'm glad that Sister Tiffany and her mother's with us. And I told them that we're just country people, love the Lord, moved to town, and the Lord, we just let the Lord have his way. And so it's wonderful that we can serve the Lord from the depths of our heart, the way that we let him have his way with us as much as we do. So I'm sure one of these days that we're just, here I am, Lord, let him do what he wants to do. So it's good to be here and to feel what we feel tonight.
Sister Tiffany's mother, Brother Sandra Curtis, is that right? We're sure glad to have you. Being here in a service on this day when we can look to what one of the great things that Christ did for us and what God did, and that he had a plan in place. You know, as the Bible says, before the foundations of the earth, you know, he had a plan. He knew that man would potentially fall, but God wasn't worried about it. He didn't fret about it. He had a plan in place, and that plan was Jesus Christ to come and to one day to reconcile us to him, to give us an opportunity to have that walk with God, and I appreciate that. And I was talking today with the youth, and Brother Smith was going, of course, right down the line of a little bit more in relation to the, we'll say, the Easter experience. You know, it's not just about a salvation message, but about that continuous walk with him. And also the earnest of our inheritance. You know, when Christ died and gave us that opportunity to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you know, I want to lift that up in my life. I want to appreciate that and realize that that's so necessary, and that it was that sacrifice that he made that was able to for God to be able to pour that Spirit out, as it was prophesied in Joel, that one day that we would be able to feel that Spirit and be once again in touch with God the Father. You know, that's what I know that was lost, and I believe it says is by one man sin entered the world, therefore death by sin. But also that second Adam, Jesus, came that we might. He knocked that dam away. He put away the things that he had nothing to do with, and give us that opportunity, that walk, that he opened that back up to heaven. And I've been thinking about that today. I've been trying to meditate on that, and think more on it as far as what it means to me, what it means to my daily walk. You know, I don't want it to just be something that I consider once a year. I want it to be something that I consider daily. I want it to be something that helps me in my daily walk with Him, to realize what exactly has been done for me, what the message is, how it relates to me, how it relates to this day that we live in, and how it's a very relevant message. You know, to think about that, going back to that song, you know, striving. That's the first song was a good one, also Sister Crow, but the second one or whatever gave me a chance to strive for the bride. You know, the reason, and I know you know this, the reason that those songs we can sing with conviction is because they're rooted in the Word of God. You know, there's some strength behind them. They go back to Scriptures. You know, I'm not just singing something to sing it, but I'm singing. I should be singing from my heart. Who was that mentioned that not too long ago, that they were thinking about really singing the song and meditating on it? Was it Brother Pryor? I think had mentioned that. I think it was. How it was from the minister's meeting, and how he was thinking about those songs and really the thought behind them. And I was thinking about that song and relating it. I know it all makes sense up in here. If I could just get it out across to you guys, that'd be great. But it made sense up here when I was thinking about it a second ago. But striving for the bride. You know, I want to meditate on that. I want to think on that a little bit more. What does that really mean to me? You know, I don't want to just get up here, clap my hands, sing through the songs. A couple of thoughts was going through my mind. I was thinking about the song leaders as they get up and they are focusing on trying to pull in the Spirit, on trying to find the channel that God is trying to talk to us today. You know, I want to get behind that. I want to be able to get up, and whenever the song is coming forth, I want to sing it with conviction, because the more I sing it with conviction, the more I'm going to prick God's heart. I'm going to show Him, Lord, I need something here today. I am striving to get a little closer to You today. I want to reach up a little higher today. And so I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about that relating it also back to what has changed because of what Christ did for us 2,000 years ago, whenever He died on the cross, gave up His Spirit, as Brother Smith was talking today, submitted to God, and then put that faith in God so that He would resurrect Him. But what did He do? You know, I don't have to worry about bringing a natural offering here today, Sister Pryor. I don't have to bring a lamb or a goat or a turtle dove and say, okay, Brother Smith, here you go. You know, hack away, kill that thing so I can have my sins forgiven. But because of that sacrifice that Christ made, because of the opportunity that I've had to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I can bow my head and I can talk to God myself. I can say, because we have that intercessor, that mediator, Christ, today, because He did walk in shoe leather, because He walked on this earth, because He was tempted at every point. I can now go to Him and say, God, Christ, You know what I'm going through. You know the things that are on this earth. You know how that Adamic nature works, and I have to strive. I have to push forward. I have to get past that and go through the veil. I know that we're not, and I'll use that loosely, I'm not using it in the term of actually going into that second heaven condition. I'm saying I need to get past this veil of flesh. I need to get past this and walk a little closer to Him. Be a little closer to God today. Say, Lord, how can You use me? What can I do? If it's in this service, what can I say that might lift up Your people? Lord, what? Because at the end of the day, I want to bless God's people. I want to be a tool in His hand. But I also, I'm working out my own salvation with fear and trembling. Because I want my brothers and sisters to make it, but it's not going to mean much to me if I don't make it. I mean, I don't want to make it a selfish thing, but at the end of the day, if I'm not there, Sister Inez, that's great for you guys, but not very good for me. If I don't, you know, I think, what was it, that I can't exactly remember, I'm paraphrasing it, but basically Paul had said, you know, he could do so much, and then he just had a dispensation of the gospel committed to him, and he wouldn't necessarily make it on with that work. Well, I want to make sure that I'm a part of the work, but in turn, I want the work to have its part in me. I want it to have its perfect work in me. I want to continually strive. Because He did call us, Sister Crow, and He didn't call us to fail. He didn't call us to just come and He didn't call me to sit down and just wait. He called me to say, you know what? I got a big mouth, so I'll use it for the Lord. I got hands that I can wave for Him. I got feet that I can walk around for Him. And it's not just to be, as I've said before, yay, I'm a cheerleader for the Lord. But it's because I want to get closer to Him. And He's done so much for me. He's done so much in my life. And I was thinking this past weeks, as different things, whether it be with my job, different situations in my life, you know, it's easy for me, just in my nature, to start doing this, to start continually start looking down and just getting my focus on everything that's around me and all the distractions and everything that life throws at you, good, bad, you know, just the day-to-day routines. But in doing that, I'm what am I doing? I'm taking my eyes from off the hills from which cometh my help. I'm no longer looking to Christ to help me to strive on a daily basis, but I'm getting my eyes off on other things. I'm not seeking Him first in His kingdom of heaven so that those things can be added to me. I'm seeking my own wealth. I'm seeking my own way. I'm saying, Lord, I don't need Your help to strive. I'm saying, I got this on my own. And next thing you know, I turn around and I was like, whoa, Lord, where are You at? Well, He's right back where I left Him. Because I'm the one that was moving away. Why? Because, you know, have you ever tried to walk a path when you're just looking down? You have no sense of, I don't have a sense of direction regardless, okay? I need a compass, an iPhone, and everything else, or I get lost. Well, I start looking down, and I'm not focusing on what matters. I'm not keeping my eye on Him. Who knows where I'll end up? I will definitely be lost. Well, I want to continually strive for what He's called me for. And today is to get in here and to pull a little bit more. I was thinking about, like I said, it all makes sense in my mind. I just have to make it all make sense to you guys. But I was thinking about, once again, as Sister Stewart was singing over there, I was thinking about the different analogies throughout the years that we've heard in relation to pulling in the Spirit. You know, some of, and the thing is, I remember most of those, but there's a lot of young people who haven't heard those. You know, who, and I'm not old enough to really remember priming a pump, Sister Dolores. Okay, maybe someone, I'm not saying you remember that either. I'm saying, but maybe, okay, Brother McGowan says he does, and Sister Crow probably, okay, see, they can talk about those experiences of priming a pump. Or, exactly, Tara's like, what? See, she doesn't know what, you know, or how about this? How about getting a plane off the ground? Okay, you know, and Brother Smith can speak better to that because he's flown. You wouldn't want me to behind the wheel of a plane. I wouldn't either. So, but I do know that there's different laws that you have to work on there. You know, you're pulling. Okay, I'm not even going to try because I'll mess it up. But those analogies that we have in relation to priming a pump or in relation to getting a plane off the ground, all they're trying to relate to us is there's some things that have to go into place in order to bring in that Spirit. Something I know I can do, and it goes back to when, I think it was when they were getting ready to go over, I want to think it was Jacob and his family, that they took off, they left all their gods, they cleansed themselves basically. They got rid of everything and they buried it before they went over into, maybe it was, that wasn't Joshua. I'm trying to think of
Jacob.
It was Jacob. That's what I thought.
And meet his brother Esau.
Okay. And they got rid of all those things before they went over. And I've always thought about, you know, I need to look at my life and see, what do I have collected? What do I have in my mind that's going to hinder me from making my journey? What am I putting on myself that is not of God? What am I, you know, adding to my life? What am I detracting out of it that is not going to help me get one step closer to Him? And that's something I can do before I even get to service. And we've had this taught to us for years, you know, and right now I'm just giving you my thoughts in relation to what I know I need to be putting more into practice. So often, you know, I'll use a football analogy. This will connect with Zach at the very least. I know that, you know, a lot of times, or sports, a lot of times what they'll say if a team is not doing well, you know what? They need to get back to the basics. They need to get back to the principles. They need to look at those foundation things that they take for granted. But you know what? If you can't dribble a basketball very well, Doesn't matter how well you can shoot unless you're never going to touch that ball unless they just throw it to you and you shoot. You have to learn how to dribble. You have to learn how to make the proper shooting stance. And if it's in basketball, there's certain ways to throw a football that, you know, if I throw it a certain way, it's going to look like a shot duck. You know, if someone throws it, it's going to spiral, it's going to look beautiful. But as far as in God, I need to remember those foundation principles. I need to remember that I need to gird up my loins. I need to clear my mind out of everything that's bogging it down. I need to come to service open and ready for God. I need to be asking Him, if I come here full, I'm going to leave empty. If I come here empty, I'm going to leave here full. And so I just want to lift my cup up today and say, God, I need You. You know what? The world wants to offer you all sorts of things. It's got all its wares. It's got all these pretty glamorous things and things that'll get you off track. But you know what? Bless the Lord. I appreciate that He did call me Sister Crow, and He's given me this opportunity to walk this way, and I don't want to take it for granted. I want to say, God, I want to be Your soldier, Lord. Gird me today, Lord. Put the armor on me. And you know, and we talked about this before, Sister Oates, but it is, that armor plate goes in the front. You know, I've got to have my forward toward the enemy. I got to be going forward. If I turn my back, it's open. I'm in trouble if I turn my back. I need to always be prepared. I need to have that helmet of salvation. I need to have this sword of the Spirit. I need to be sharpening it all the time. You know, and like I said, I'm just trying to go back into my own self today. I'm trying to see, Lord, it's not about the do's and the don'ts and the black and white, because that's how my mind works, but it's that relationship. The thing is, I don't want to treat God like I don't care about the relationship. I don't want to treat Him like because He's done so much for me, Sister Tally. He's done so much for me in my life. How can I treat Him that way? Because I get my eyes down on the ground. Because I don't look up and say, God, I need You today. I need You to help me, if anything, just to get my focus a little bit better. You know, we have to, I know I need to do this physically or in the natural right now. I need to go get my eyes checked. It's been quite a while since I've gotten my eyes checked. And I can tell that these glasses are no longer strong enough for me, the prescription. Well, I need to make sure that I keep in contact with God so that I don't ever start losing my vision. So that I don't ever start getting it. If it's getting a little blurry and a little more blurry, guess what? I'm going to get used to that. And if I get used to that, it keeps getting worse and worse and worse until one day, like I said, I don't know where I'm at because I can't see anymore. I don't want to take this way for granted. I've done that before. So I want to do my part. So all I want to get up here today is to say, I want to do my part and lift my hands for my God and praise Him. Because you know what? There are places like right now, they've got the March Madness going on. You know what? Well, it should be January through December Madness in the house of God. I should be lifting my hand for Him. I should be praising His name because He is worthy of all praise. One day, we're going to take off our crowns and throw them at His feet when He says, it is finished. It is done. In that eighth day, you know, but Brother Smith was saying today, he was getting excited about it. Why? Because that's an opportunity we have to be there when I can say, I know You know God, and I know You know God. Yeah. And there's not a single person around that wouldn't say they didn't know God. Why? Because God and His church will one day fill the earth. Amen. And that's an opportunity, and that's that calling that we have. So I just wanted to say I'm thankful to be here.
Thankful I am to be here tonight. I have asked for y'all's prayers for my family through the years, and I really appreciate them. Today, my family was on the way to meet me today. They were in two different cars, so that's twice the chance that something could have happened to them. When this accident happened on Stagecoach, I don't know if any of y'all heard about it, but it was a devastating accident. And I want to thank the Lord that He protected my family, because the accident, the way they described one of the cars, how it was just almost bent in two, it was, I don't know how many didn't make it at the scene of the accident, but I'm so thankful that the Lord protected my family, because it was just a matter,
just a matter of a very few blocks before they got to me. But, you know, I think in many people's case that a lot of the prayers for your family come from your church family. And you might have a few relatives or friends who may be praying, but in a lot of cases, most of it comes from your church family. And I sure do appreciate all your prayers. I appreciate it if you continue to pray for them, because they really need God. And I'm so thankful for what not only God has done for my family so far, but what he's done for me. There's so many things that he's done for me in so many ways. I just take me forever to name them all. I'm so thankful to God what he's done and what he means to me. I love each and every one of you.
Anyway, I was asking the Lord to put something on my mind, you know, and nothing really came to my mind, but sometimes I just feel like whether it's there or not, maybe the Lord will test you. Maybe if you'll stand up and open your mouth, maybe the Lord will fill it. But I am thankful, and you know, this time of year, it rolls around every year, and, you know, we've always been taught, you know, that it's more of a pagan holiday, but at the same time, it makes us aware of the sacrifices that Christ made. And, you know, sometimes it's almost more than I can get my mind around. You know, I was watching on flipping through the channels the other day, and they had a special on Nat Geo on, you know, history, on the History Channel, on how, you know, the crucifixion and things like that. Not to get, you know, some part of me wants to stay away from that and not get too, you know, not get too wrapped up in that side of it. And the Bible says, "Whatever things are good, think on these things." But at the same time, I think about what more good is that than he would lay down his life. And the, you know, the Romans were I don't know why I'm going down this path, but in this special, the Romans were they were super efficient, and they knew exactly what they were doing. And the reason they chose the crucifixion is not just for the pain, but because of the humiliation and how long it took to die. And I think, you know, I think of that, and I was watching that, and you know, that'll sober you. that someone loved, you know, loved me that much, they would look that far ahead in time to make that sacrifice. And how, you know, when we see it, you know, one of my pet peeves is an effeminate Jesus. I mean, all my life we've seen all these people, these artist depictions of Jesus that make him look like, you know, long flowing hair and white robes and tenderly holding a little lamb. That's not my Jesus. That's not my Jesus. When I think of my Jesus, he was a simple man. Years ago, we had a Haitian come through here, and I don't know if you all remember him, but he was one of these Haitians that was very uncouth. He stood up, his shirt tail was hanging out. He could barely speak English, spoke really broken Creole, and I was sitting about where Sister Linda's sitting right now, and he was up, and he had went on and on and on. And I was kind of snickering, you know, come on. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, that's what Jesus looked like. To the Pharisees and the Sadducees of the time, you know, he was an uncouth carpenter. And I was thinking about, you know, and it sobered me. You know, how would I know Jesus if he was to walk in here right now? And later on that night, I was having some issues at the time. Well, I lived in this house behind the church, and I was in the PA room, and I was wanting out of the PA room. I was wanting out of this house behind the church. I was wanting out of a lot of places, and it seemed like. And that, after church, that man cornered me right down here. And I was like, Lord, you know, we went long tonight. I'm just wanting to get home. Just, you know, let me get out of here with a... And he was speaking this English that I couldn't hardly even understand. And all of a sudden, he stopped, and he looked me right in the eye. And in perfect, flawless English, he said, don't ever give up your place. And he said it. And when he said it, it was, I felt like a dog. A dog that can't make eye contact. You ever look at a dog and they always try to look away? I remember my dog. Whenever my dog was in trouble, I say, B, did you chew up whatever? And he'd squint his eyes. I said, B, you look at me. And he'd cut his eyes to the side. I said, B, you look at me. Well, that's what I felt like when that man said, don't ever give up your place. I couldn't make eye contact with that man. And I remember I looked back, and he goes, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? I said, I know exactly what you're talking about. And then he went back to speaking his English. But anyway, I thought, you know, while watching that show that you know, of I totally lost my train of thought. But I think about how simple that Jesus was, and how he didn't have to. I mean, that's what gets me, is it wasn't necessarily the pain, but it was the humiliation of his crucifixion, that he hung there and he knew what he was facing. And I think I dwell on that sometimes, and I think, Lord, I can't hardly stand a bad day at work, you know, knowing that I'm going to have to face a bad day at work. And he knew his entire 33 years of what he was going to face for me. The most humiliating, painful death you can possibly imagine. And I know that sounds, that's can be a downer, but at the same time, he loved me that much. And he loved all of us that much. That who am I to, regardless of what this world has done with this holiday, or any holiday, who am I to turn up my nose at that? Anything that, like Brother Smith has said, anything that reminds us, that reminds this sinful world of what Christ has done for us, and what we owe, that we can never repay. And I'm thankful. I would never want to miss an opportunity to stand up and say that I'm thankful. I am thankful.
disgrace. Oh, Mount Calvary, take my place. Then I ask myself this question.
Oh,
Oh,
Heiniger was just telling me some of the experiences he had when he was young, where God saved him. And Brother Smith was talking today, 2,000 years ago, God saved all of us. And, you know, when you think about it, that is pretty humbling. We're talking about a king. We're talking about the creator of the universe. We're talking about our Heavenly Father, the one we talk to when we get on our knees and knock on heaven's door. That's the one we're talking about. You know, it's pretty humbling. And I've been trying to get Brother McGowan to get up and talk all night. Today, Brother Smith was talking about, you know, when Jesus left heaven and he came down here. He knew what he was going to do. And Brother McGowan, he leaned over to me today. He said, "Can you imagine what the conversation was between the Father and Jesus before he came down here?" Can you? Wouldn't you like to be a fly on the wall and hear that conversation? I would. I'd love to. And that kind of love that he had for us. It blows your mind when you think about it. It's something that... And Brother Smith even said today on his last comment, we've got a chance to live forever. We've been called. That's amazing. It's amazing. It's almost like, you know, you want to reach up and grab your ear and twist it and say, am I dreaming? Is this for real? You knock on your head and say, hello? Think about it. You know, think about it. We got a chance to live forever. And I know we come to church and we see, you know, if we're not careful, we look around and we say, this is just another assembly being gathered together to lift up God's name, which is a lot. But, I mean, when you think about where we really are. Now, those people that saw Jesus when he was here, some of them listened to him and some of them didn't. They followed him around for the loaves and the fishes. And then there was people that even watched the miracles he performed, and they still didn't believe. They still didn't believe. You would think, if you watched a man, I got behind on my Bible reading, so I'm trying to finish up for last year. In case any of y'all feel behind, I haven't started for this year yet. I just want to let y'all know this. So you can go ahead and start. I'm with you too. But I've been reading. Jesus, you know, Brother Smith was talking about he raised Lazarus from the dead. And then there was another time he stopped a funeral procession. You know, you get to reading about these things, and here's these poor people. And we've been there. We've laid people to rest. We know what that feels like. We hate it. You know, I hate turning loose of anybody. As a matter of fact, I don't want to finish. Let me throw this in. But in that Houston meeting, I haven't given my report on that meeting yet. I just want to say a little bit. But that brother Angelo got up and talked. And it was time to eat. But we didn't want to leave. Brother Angelo was standing up there talking about all the good things God had done for him. And how God had walked with him. He said, I've been in this walk my whole life, but I never had a really walk with God. I never knew that relationship you could have with God. I sat out there and listened to him. It wouldn't have mattered to me if they'd have dismissed supper as much as I like eating, just to get to listen to that man talk. And I know we may still have to turn loose of him, and I hate that. I hate that. But God, I know, knows what he's doing. I know that. I know that we can put faith and trust in God, and even if we do have to turn loose somebody, we'll see them again, you know, because the inside relationship, what's going on inside of us is more important than what's on the outside. I know that. When these people was walking down the road in a funeral procession, and Jesus come up to them, evidently they didn't even know him. I mean, here's the creator of the universe walking among these people. And they're having a funeral. And this lady's son is expired. I've never lost I've lost a little girl, but she wasn't with us that long. But some of you that's lost children that you've had for longer times, you know, that hurts. And I've listened to some that's told these stories. And I know this woman was possibly in this situation. And Jesus stopped the funeral procession, and he raised this boy from the dead and gave him back to her. People watched that miracle happen. And then Jesus was talking to them one day. This crowd had been listening to him. Evidently, his words was something else to listen to. And the disciples said, "Lord, send these people away, because they've been following you right here in the middle of nowhere. They need to go back and find them something to eat." Jesus told them, "Well, feed them." They said, "Okay, how are we going to make that one work?" You know, putting in today's language. He said, "Well, what do you have?" What they found. He said, "I caused the people to sit down in groups of 50. And he started breaking it. Now, I don't know how that worked. I read that story, and I don't know if it, I don't know if he hit it, you know, so everybody couldn't see it. I don't know if he broke it. It just kept growing in his hands. I don't know how that happened. You know, his hands must have got tired breaking bread and fish for 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. And that one occasion, and there were 4,000 on the other occasion, people watched that. And then he told them, he said, "Y'all get in the boat and go to the other side. Brother Painter, I'm sorry, I get confused between Painter and Pryor. I was talking about this the other night a little bit. He told them, "Go to the other side." "Well, yeah, you got to want." Well, they went down, got in the boat, took off. I don't know if they asked him, "Well, Lord, what about you?" He said, "Well, I'm going to send the people away." "How are you going to?" "Oh, just go on." I'm sure he probably like my brother Wayne. You said, "Paul, just do what I tell you." And that's probably what Jesus told him. "Just do what I tell you. Just get in the boat and go on. I'll be there. I'll be on." And they got out there and got in a storm. He sent the people away, went up on top of the mountain, prayed, and in his prayers, he could see them. They were fighting with a storm. So here he come. Here he come. Walking across the water. Walking across the water. Just walking across the water. And they thought they had seen a spirit. And the Bible said they got scared. They started screaming even. I don't know what I'd do if I was out in a boat in the dark. There wasn't no night lights out there. You know, those big beams, you know, that we see these days. You know, that they didn't have those back there. Yeah, don't know light night light houses. I don't guess they had those back then. They might have had them. I don't know. It was dark. They didn't have them. You know, I've heard stories, you know, how they had fire, you know, and they had some kind of reflection, you know, that they would shine that. So I don't know. I dream white. I didn't want to comment on something, you know. I wasn't back there, if y'all can understand what I'm trying to say. Anyway. But they didn't have any night lights. Here they were in the dark, fighting a storm, and they see what they think is a man walking across the water. Now, wouldn't that be a sight? I might get a little shook up too. And the Lord told them, he said, I think they hollered, "Lord, okay, I might have to have help on this story. But I think they cried out. And the Lord said, be not afraid, it is I. And then Peter said, Lord, if that be you, bid me come. He was one of these guys with a temperament that he would act first and think later. And the Lord said, well, come. Here he went. And then he got to looking at the storm. Oh, what have I done? Oh, no. I have messed up now. Too late to, you know, you can't snap your finger and be back, you know. You know, have you ever tried doing that? I wish I could just snap my finger and make things different. Peter probably felt that way. But he got to looking around, seeing the storm. Oh, that's when he took his eyes off Jesus. He started sinking. Now, you got to wonder, did he sink slow? He had to have sunk slow a little bit. He couldn't have sunk like he was in water. Because he cried out, Lord, save me, lest I perish. The Bible said he stretched out his arm. Now, I don't know if he went across the water like Flash or like Stretch or if he was just automatically there or if he just raised his hand. I don't know how that worked. But he said he stretched out his hand, lifted him up. They saw that. They saw it. Then they walked back to the boat. And the Bible said immediately it was at the shore. I don't know how that worked. You know, I don't know if it just, you know, just there. But they saw that. And then I read a scripture this week. When he resurrected Lazarus from the dead. If I get to warn you folks, just tell me, Brother Paul, shut up and sit down. But they come to him. He loved Mary and Martha. He loved them. Well, they had done lots for him. You know, why wouldn't you love somebody if they do a lot for you? You know, that's the kind of people you do love, good people. I love good people. It's them other kind that I'm needing prayer on. I know when Jesus died on the cross, it wasn't good people that hung him on the cross. I know that. But he still loved them anyway. But he loved Mary and Martha. And they come to him. And they let him know that Lazarus was sick. The Bible said he just stayed around. He had things evidently to do, but I know he stayed around on purpose. The Bible said he did. And then finally, after a while, about 2 or 3 days, he told the disciples, he said, we need to go. Lazarus sleepeth. And they told him, well, Lord, if Lazarus sleepeth, he doth well. He said, no, Lazarus is dead. He started making his way that way. And I think it was Martha. Heard he was coming. He wasn't even going fast. He knew that he was going to do something to magnify his father. Martha, come out there. Lord, if you'd have just been here, my brother would still be here. She knew he could save him if he was sick. And what was it Jesus told her? He said, I am the resurrection and the life. She said, Lord, I know in the last days we'll see him again. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And then he evidently didn't move from that spot because Mary found out about he was out there. And she came out and met him in the same place. Lord, if you'd have just been here, my brother would still be here. He had to tell her the same thing. So he went up, he finally made his way to the grave. He said, remove the stone. And I think, was it Mary or Martha told him? Lord, he'd been here, what was it, 3 or 4 days? 4 days and he stinketh. We don't need to be moving that stone. Talking about Brother Bud's feet today. Anyway. But they removed that stone. Brother Smith told a story today. I'm sorry about this man that got married and his feet smelled really bad. Anyway, it's a good story. Since Crow can tell it to you. Anyway, he said, move the stone. They moved it. And he prayed. He said, Father, I know that you are doing this just so that, you know, the people can see your glory. And he's crying out, Lazarus, come forth! He knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing. Here he come. Here he come. Here he come. Can you imagine what them people was thinking? Can you imagine? Here he come. They knew he'd been in that rock for a cave or whatever they built there for that long. They knew he'd been in there. And they seen him do it. The Bible said there were still people that left. They saw that and they still left and went and reported to the Pharisees where Jesus was and what he had just done. I read that this week. I said, can you believe that? Can you believe that? How could people be so blind? Yeah, they watched it. But Jesus knew what he was doing. He knew what was coming. We're talking about the creator of the universe. And he didn't stop. He kept telling his disciples, the Son of Man is going to be crucified. But he wouldn't back up. He knew. And he did pray that night, Father, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. You know, when you read that, it lets you know there was a side of Jesus. He was fighting a battle. I think y'all sung a song today about a battle. Or maybe I heard it somewhere else. I don't know. But he was trying to conquer sin. And he did surrender. And then, here's the deal that really gets you. They took him. He had the power to walk on water. And he had the power to raise people from the dead. heal the sick. And he could have even killed them people. You know, Paul, he smote a man blind. Well, Paul smote a man blind. And Peter, there was two people fell dead right in front of him. Jesus could have done it too. And that Roman soldier that was nailing them nails through his hands when he was stretched out there, he didn't know he was at that man's mercy. He didn't know. But Jesus had so much love inside of him that even when he was going through that pain, and we're talking about the creator of the universe, when he was going through that kind of pain, he was doing it because he loved us. He was doing it because he loved us. You and me, Brother Weiniger, and we're nobody. I know I'm nobody. All of us together, you know, you read in God's Word even where people, and all through history where people took stands. They was nobodies, but they were just following the example that our Savior laid down for us. And we're called, like Brother Smith said, we're called to be one of His. That's the greatest calling in the world. The greatest calling in the world. And you know, we can be a light. We can be a light. We can be a part of that city that's set on a hill that can't be hid. We are the salt of the earth. We are the woman that love letter is written to. You know, we are who we say we are. We're His chosen. We are His. And I'm happy for that. I'm happy for that. God's good. He's our best friend. He's our Savior. I appreciate our Savior. God is good.
Tired. It's been a long week, but I'm thankful. And He's, you know, we were talking so much today about if the Lord hadn't called us and these blessings on our lives. So this course crossed my mind. See if it fits.
I cannot tell it all. Oh, I cannot tell it all.
me. Oh, I cannot tell it all. He has taken my sins away. Oh, yes, he's done so much for me. Oh, I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all.
Just stand and give him a praise for his goodness to us. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. Oh, God. Lord, for life. This life, this birth that you've given us. Oh, Lord, we're appreciative. We're thankful today for your goodness to us, Lord. Oh, God, for your mighty hand over our lives. Keep your people, Lord. Direct us. Direct our steps. Help us, oh God, to stay in your favor. Serve you, oh God. Amen. Amen. All right. Pray for Sister Inez. She's having surgery Tuesday. So pray, keep her in your prayers. She's so private, she wouldn't tell you, so I had to. Anyway, keep remembering Brother Angelo this week. I'm in agreement with Brother Paul David that if the Lord takes him, we'll yield him over to the Lord, but we're going to hold out like the little widow before the unjust judge. And just keep asking God. You know, he said in the Houston meeting, if I'm going to try to yield over to God's will, whatever it is, that'd be hard to say. But he said, you know, you could tell if God would let him live and extend his life, he would appreciate that. And I know I would too. So I just want us to be one of the assemblies that just keeps holding him up before God. Amen. All right, shake hands with one another and be friendly.